when you're a hypnotist or when you are someone who watches a hypnotist work, maybe on the stage or you have been with a hypnotist, there is one technique that comes up over and over again. It's the tapping on the forehead. And this tapping on the forehead is connected to a lot of myths and assumptions and legends, what it actually means. Some hypnotists seem to have their own idea why it exists, why you should do it, and when you watch someone on the stage, sometimes they even seem to press their client to the ground by pressing on the forehead. Now, welcome to HypnoTalks Question and Answers and our mini-series of hypnotic techniques. My name is Axel Hombach. I'm a hypnotist in Cologne, Germany. And right now I'm here in London with Dr. John Butler, the director of the HTI, the Hypnotherapy Training International, one of the leading schools of hypnotherapy. Hello, John.
Hello, Axel. Hello to the listeners.
Last week, I had the opportunity to attend your first course again, and also there, you demonstrated the tapping on the forehead. Mm-hmm. And you've been in the business for a very long time, and you've probably tapped a lot of foreheads in that time.
Okay, sure.
And I suspect that you, in contrast to many of us, know exactly why you are doing that. Mm-hmm. Well, there are legends. For example, this is tapping on the third eye. Some people say it's just a distraction. And there are probably a lot more explanations on why hypnotists, hypnotherapists tap on the forehead. So why do we tap our clients on the forehead?
Well, Axel, bearing in mind, this is a conversational, semi-structured kind of interview. I'm not going to go into the theories about tapping as in EFT and TFT and other disciplines. I'm talking about it in a more limited way here, how we use it in hypnotherapy. And what we have here, in the way I was demonstrating it last week, was a technique, a method that Gil Boyne used going back many, many decades now. And it's been taken into other systems of psychology, psychotherapy methods, you know, so I won't mention some of the brands of therapy that are out there that use this and give it a different name and maybe have somewhat different theories about what it's meant to do. Having worked with Gil over the years, I know exactly how he thought of it when he developed what it was intended to achieve. So when the tapping of the forehead occurs, is usually as we start to get the person into the deeper emotions and beginning to uncover the fixed ideas. Now, we'll ask them certain questions. We may ask them what caused you to have this feeling of self-doubt, that's, or those certain self-critical thoughts. Now, at the time when you give that question, the person's mind jumps around consciously and subconsciously to find an answer. And this tapping in the forehead helps to dislocate the conscious thinking somewhat. It distracts it. It occupies the conscious thinking at the same time as derailing it a bit, because there's two things going on there. One is it's slightly irritating to the client a little bit because they're trying to think and you're stopping it a bit. So it's inhibiting their thinking by occupying the conscious mind.
So it stops the rational mind,
yeah,
from jumping in.
That's it. It really makes it difficult. And there is a little element of a insistence here. Tell me the answer, and I'm tapping you there to reinforce that message. That's called a tactile sense of suggestion, a physical suggestion. I'm saying, give me the answer, please. Give it to me now. And you're tapping there to reinforce that. So it adds to the psychological suggestion with a physical suggestion. Now, but to go to the dislocation here, this is being termed in other systems an interrupt. Maybe a pattern interrupt or some other interrupt.
The famous or infamous pattern interrupt, yeah, as it is called in a different system.
Yeah. Well, this form of interrupt, Gil Boyne was doing it 20 years before any of these other systems began to use it, and a long time before they even existed. So it is a very good method to help the person get into the subconscious because you're interfering with their conscious thinking, and let's get the answer from the subconscious. It powerfully pushes them into the subconscious as well. And often you'll see Gil, while he's doing that tapping, and say, speak, speak, give me the answer, right? Don't think, speak, speak. Speak from your subconscious. Let the feeling come up and let it come up automatically. And sometimes you'll even, when they're starting to speak the answer, but there's an inhibition there, almost like that, you'll see. And that's because a part of the mind is usually trying to censor what's coming up, afraid that they may say something that's wrong, that's revealing, that's, you know, makes them feel a bit embarrassed or ashamed. And you may have seen Gil moving them with his finger on their chin.
Yeah.
Moving them out, speak, speak, open your mouth, speak, speak. At that time, it can seem to the uninitiated that this is, he's pushing them. He's being a little bit intrusive.
Rough.
Yeah, this is intrusive. Not at all. The client needs help sometimes. You're pushing and prompting, and that helps them. Get it out. And they'll come out with their answer then. And the more you tap on the forehead, and you can increase its intensity a little bit, you know, give me the answer, give it to me. That really is a very good suggestion, physical and psychological, to give to them. And there's a part of their mind says, oh, I better give it to them because this is too insistent.
This is annoying.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Good word here. It's not physically hurt, pain, but it's just that bit of irritation. And mind says, it's easier to give it up to him. I'll give it up. I'll give them the answer. The best answer they can have. Now, we should never take that answer as if it's all some kind of gospel truth, no more than we would with an IMR. It's simply a level of subconscious awareness that they have that here's the answer, and we take that and use it. We open it up, and it's revealing whatever it is. Even if it turns out to be contradicted by something later, which I don't think I've ever had that happen, but if it did, fine. We work with that then. It's a start on opening with the subconscious and getting out of conscious thinking. So it's two things then. It's a dislocation of conscious thinking from the answer that they need to give. So they can't give the conscious answer easily. They have to go to the subconscious, and it's reinforcing that message of insistence.
What I know from my practice is that I use this tapping a lot with people who are very controlled and very rational and have almost a fear to let the subconscious speak.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't use it with every case, because when I have the feeling, he's ready to reveal, he's coming up with it, I'm not going to then say, well, I have to do this just because I have that tool, this method. No, it's there though, or when you need it. And many therapists hesitate to use it because, again, they've got all of this nonsense that they hear from other people about not touching, not being intrusive, and so on. The truth is, as long as you've got agreement at the beginning that there is some physical contact in the way you work, and that goes for everything from picking up their hand and dropping it for an arm hand drop deepener, or giving them a demonstration in advance, a rehearsal, muscle rehearsal, for when you're going to do the hand levitation. This is just one more area where you're having a physical contact with the client. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing quasi-sexual or provoking intimacy of any inappropriate nature or inappropriately crossing boundaries. As long as you've mentioned that there's going to be some touch, and when you do it effectively, appropriately, it's a very useful element to bring into the therapy.
Some people believe that the tapping on the forehead has to do with the third eye, which seems to be located there in some spiritual systems.
Yes. Well, that's why I said at the beginning, I wasn't going to go into the energy systems of therapy or all of the esoteric systems and doctrines. Yes, that's the area roughly where they draw it on the diagrams. And without getting into chakras, because hypnotherapy is not, you know, primarily concerned with chakras. I know people use it in many different ways, including as part of esoteric systems. But the practice of hypnotherapy itself doesn't require a knowledge of or application of esoteric methods. And people often confuse the two. The subconscious mind can be opened up with hypnotherapy That's then how you want to, it's up to the individual how they define those areas, right, of subconsciousness, different consciousness, alternative consciousness, altered states. We're not here to argue for or against different systems, but hypnotherapy as the discipline that opens the door, we say that's what we practice, and it doesn't require you to hold to any particular spiritual beliefs.
So the tapping on the forehead hand, at least in hypnotherapy, has a mere technical meaning and not a spiritual meaning.
It doesn't have an esoteric meaning. It is not intended to activate a meridian point in any energy systems of those traditional kinds, or some other system that somebody has invented recently and says there's all kinds of secret nerve, secret energy channel there. You know how it goes. There's so many things out there that have no real scientific validity. I'm not saying that means it doesn't exist. I'm simply saying when you have working with your clients, you're working with the best methods that have the most solid basis in clinical evidence, in research laboratory evidence. And I think personally it's a therapeutic mistake to subject clients to your own personal pet theories and put those under the label of hypnotherapy and say, well, this is what hypnotherapy is, when really the classical and the contemporary definitions do not support that. But anyway, to go back to that point, no, we're not opening up channels and we're not opening up the chakras by this method.
And so any hypnosis practitioner, coach or therapist, they can use the tapping on the forehead without being afraid to open up any spiritual esoteric.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. It is a excellent little additional, I say little, not in a, because it's so little activity is required, but the effect is not little. It's very, very helpful to keep the client from trying to block the suggestion.
And therefore, the advice should be use it when you have the impression that the rational mind of your client is interfering.
Yes, and it does tend to come in at that point, because when you're asking them what causes you to do X, Y, Z, a part of the mind may fear, oh God, that's going to be something pretty nasty or difficult. I've never resolved that. I've never understood it. But I suspect maybe it goes back to feeling vulnerable when I was young, feelings of hurt, rejection, negative. Maybe I've had a sexual assault, history of rape, or maybe I was sexually abused when I was young. And so there is that reluctance to reveal subconscious content and feel vulnerable and go into that material. And it's for that very reason we want to get the most clear, direct, and honest material and answer from the subconscious level of the mind. So let's make it difficult for the conscious mind to interfere or block that. And let's use the pattern interrupt and get them responding from their subconscious with the answer.
Is there a right or a wrong way to tap on the forehead?
The middle finger? Or you might use the two finger, forefinger and the middle finger together.
I sometimes use the middle finger and what is the ring finger?
Yeah, the ring finger.
Yeah,
that's just what comes naturally. But really, the middle finger is the one that's usually longest sticking out.
Yeah.
Used to tap there. And it's done in a rhythmical. Give me the answer now. You do the speed. If you feel this person is very... And you sense it and you see it even in the way their physical appearance and their scrunching up their brow, they're trying to think, and maybe their language is, well, I'm not sure. But before they go too far into that intellectual censoring of the answer, you push them with it. Speak, give me the answer, boom, 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 and then intensify it as necessary.
Is there a certain area that you target that is right, or can it be anywhere on the forehead?
I would just middle of the forehead, right in the middle.
Would it be wrong if you tap, let's say, over an eyebrow, maybe?
Well, I don't think so. It wouldn't be a huge issue. But it's almost as if, you know, when we're thinking, we tend to associate, of course, scientifically speaking, we have the cortex, the prefrontal cortex. And in that area, of course, a lot of our intentionality about when we're trying to think about doing something or thinking about doing something, we tend to use that part of our cortex. And so it's almost as like we're saying we're interfering with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's symbolic more at that point,
yeah.
But because it's a bit of a sensory overload, a sensory distraction.
Yeah,
it has that good effect of knocking the conscious mind off its chair, dislocating a little bit.
So ideally, it's somewhere around the middle of the forehead, up the nose, but don't be concerned if it's somewhere around that.
No.
As long as you distract your client,
yes.
The conscious mind.
And your tonality of voice that goes with that is, tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. Now, not necessarily as aggressive as that, but you must be prepared to do that. And even, as I said, sometimes moving the chin a little bit in that way, because already you've got that permission from them that there's physical touch, and you are encouraging them to speak from the subconscious, speak according to the feeling that's coming up and the information associated with that feeling.
Then your voice becomes more demanding while you are tapping on the forehead.
Absolutely. Your hypnotherapist needs to learn the power of the voice, and in that...
Put more pressure into it.
Yes. For when the voice is soft, when it needs to be soft and confiding and building more of that therapeutic intimacy, and on the other hand, when we need that intentionality to come across, you know, do this now. You need to do this now so I can get on with the work and help you. The imperative in the language, you know, the imperative in grammatical sense, you know, is telling us, do it.
So you're not using a cuddle voice while you're tapping on the forehead?
No, it's very much do it, do it. We all learn to respond to that when we're young from parents who might want to stop the child putting his finger in the fire, you know, because the fire looks bright. And there is, again, that kind of feeling in people nowadays, oh, therapists shouldn't be directive, shouldn't be imperative. No, it's very necessary for the client sometimes to hear that in the therapist, because then there's a part of their mind knows the therapist is confident enough to do that, and it awakens that feeling of trust, like when Daddy did that and it saved me from burning my finger. We don't think of it as abusive. Again, these are the myths that are peddled out there. Of course you've got to be careful in the way you use your voice for somebody, a client, for whom authority has always been abusive. So when you're using an authoritative voice, you've got to be very careful how you do that. You've got to measure it to the client's needs and be prepared to soften the tone where needed because of that problem that they have. And then at the same time, when that's not appropriate, when it would be counterproductive to have a soft, soft voice all the time, which is nearly always counterproductive because clients need more than a soft voice. What I'm saying essentially, you're flexible according to the needs of the client.
What I know from my own practice is that when I tap my clients on the forehead, I have often reached a point where then I also ask them to give the first letter
of the word,
then the second letter, so that it spells out letter by letter, because they are so reluctant to speak out what's going on.
It's that reluctance or inhibition again, as the conscious mind tries to stop it coming out, as it wants to inhibit and censor it. So when that's another of Gill's wonderful creative developments in therapy. So many things that are out there that people see people doing, don't know where they came from, don't know what their real purpose is, maybe misunderstand it, you know, tapping in the forehead seems so aggressive, abusive. It's nothing of the kind. It's a therapeutic move. And the same way as you've just mentioned now, getting him to speak the letter, and that breaks up then the conscious mind a little bit more, or maybe a lot more, because the word is coming out letter by letter, and then they can't think about the rest of those feelings, and, well, that inhibiting feeling that they want to do, to bring in that, look, I'll be embarrassed, and I start to become very thinking and intellectual about defending myself. Now it's another disruptive task, and it allows the subconscious to bring out the answer more effectively. Anything that disrupts the intellectual processing at that point is all good and very helpful. You're helping the client get to feelings, fixed ideas that are difficult for them to access, and in some cases, strong feelings of reluctance to reveal them.
Earlier you said this tapping on the forehead is not meant to inflict pain, and I also asked you, is there a right way to do it? So I suspect that you do the tapping with the tip of your finger and you don't use your fingernail, especially
yes.
if you have longer nails.
Obviously, pay attention to practicalities. It's a little bit irritating and annoying. One could call that mild pain, but obviously it's not real pain. There's no real injury caused. There's no mark there afterwards and so on. And I feel when therapists hold a view, I wouldn't do anything like that because it's too aggressive. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. We're never there to just be occupied with our comfort. We're there for the needs of the client. They may have had masses of abuse. They may have had all kinds of pain and suffering, physical, emotional, so on in their lives. And human beings are strong. They can tolerate the minimal amount of annoyance or irritation that we may at times create within them when they have to answer a difficult question or have to tolerate tapping on the forehead.
As we are coming to an end with our episode, please summarize what we talked about in 4 sentences.
All right. The tapping on the forehead method is primarily used to ensure that the client answers you as far as possible from the subconscious level by, firstly, dislocating conscious thinking to a degree from the process by interrupting the flow of conscious thinking with that tapping, which is a sensory overload, sensory distraction, plus the words that go with that, give me the answer essentially. What is it that causes you? So you say that you do the two things together and one reinforces the other. A physical reinforcer along with the verbal reinforcer of give me the answer. And that is having that powerful, let's say, intensification of the suggestion.
Thank you very much, John, for your insights. And I hope our listeners are now going to use the tapping on the forehead without any fear that they are doing something wrong.
And Axel, I think it's very valuable to look at some of the films we have of Gil using it.
Surely.
And see how seamlessly it fits into the work and how beneficial it is. Again, good training courses will cover this material in depth. Many, many training courses don't use this, or if they do, they misunderstand it or don't explain it properly to the students. So again, the students are afraid of it, don't know how to use it. We're back to that old story. Get your training at a deep, full, comprehensive level of training.
As you mentioned, the videos of Gilboyen, I believe the video of Bat is a fantastic first video to watch where he demonstrates not only the tapping on the forehead, but also the moving of the chin.
Yes, yeah. You see how fluid it is, how easy it is, and you don't have to feel inhibited or scared about doing it as a therapist.
And how well the client, Bud, goes along with that.
How effective it is with him, and how much he easily accepts it.
So, John, that concludes our current episode, and I'm very happy to continue with you in the next episode in our mini-series talking about various styles, technique styles, indirect hypnosis, direct, Ericksonian, non-Ericksonian, and what belongs to that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you very much and talk to you soon again.
Thank you and to our listeners.